And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. My name is Mark Gillar, and my special guest today is Doug Vogt. Doug Vogt holds the record for all-time listenership on my program. If you take the collective listenership on one particular show on Blog Talk, the entire time it's been on the air, it's only a little more than that one particular show that Doug did with me. So just trying to keep everything in perspective here for any Obots that might be listening. Doug, welcome back to the show. Great listenership the last time you were on, and it's an absolute honor to have you back on.
Thank you. I'm blushing. I think the reason why you had so many hits is because I actually gave the audience meat and potatoes. In other words, I went through all the points of forgery that I had found to that point. I found additional ones since then, but I think that's why people really want information. So I think you wanted to know what I'm doing currently or what the filing is.
Yeah, you've got some legal action going on, and we can talk about the additional anomalies that you found in just a second, but kind of update my listeners and me on everything that you've got going from a litigation standpoint with regard to the birth certificate.
It's real simple. When I was doing the research for the case and also for the book that Paul and I are doing, I read most of Chapter 18 in the Federal Code, which is the criminal part. Mm-hmm. And I came across two laws. One is misprision of felony, and the other one is misprision of treason. And they were both signed into law by the very first Congress, second session, and signed by none other than President George Washington. So there's no debate about what the Founding Fathers intended with the law, because they're the ones who wrote it and signed it. The purpose of it is this. If you know of a crime against the United States, this is a federal issue, then you're supposed to report it. And both laws give a sequence of people who you're supposed to notify. And in the affidavit, we wind up repeating the law, both laws, and in both it says a United States judge, which is now called a federal judge. It tells you the sequence. You're supposed to report it. Now, this law, over the last 200 and some odd years, has mostly been used by U.S. attorneys, and of course, states have the same kind of law they've passed in their own legislatures, a similar law, that basically they go after someone who knows of a crime but doesn't report it. And someone, a lady earlier today, sent me three examples of most recently, one in Florida and a couple other places, of people who were arrested and charged and put into in prison for over a year for not reporting a crime. And it's used currently, and it's used all the time. It's used as a way to force someone who knows something about it to give the information or spend 3 years in prison or a fine and or both.
Doug, if I can interrupt for just a second, I want to throw a hypothetical example out at you. For instance, let's say that I work somewhere within the Department of Health in Hawaii. And if you listen to any of the verbiage coming out of the Department of Health in Hawaii, what you hear is them bending over backwards to try to imply that the document is authentic while leaving themselves a legal out. Out of Hawaii, what we continue to hear is that the long-form birth certificate posted at whitehouse.gov contains information that is supported by documents in our files. So if they know that what they're posting at whitehouse.gov is not what is in the files and that they know this thing is a forgery, they would be guilty of one of these two crimes that you've just described to my listeners, correct?
That is correct. It is a felony in Hawaii as well as in U.S. code, but the crime is basically against the United States, not really against Hawaii. But yes, you're right. They'd be guilty of no less than misprision of felony, but really it's really misprision of treason because they allowed a foreign agent to become president of the United States, and that's what nails them to the wall. And there's no statute of limitations. Whenever a crime has a death sentence associated with it, there is no statute of limitations. Since there is one for misprision of treason, there is no statute of limitations for any of those involved in this conspiracy to get this foreign agent in as president. It doesn't matter if they were involved 20 or 30 years ago, they could be nailed if they're tracked down. What's more important about what I've done and why I filed it this way. We got an answer back. Oh, by the way, if people go onto the web, we have a new website for this stuff. Besides, we have one is vectorpub.com. Obamaforgery.com, and the one we created for just this is called Obamaforgerybook.com, and I have all the pleadings. In fact, I scanned in my affidavit and the exhibits in grayscale, so you don't have to see it in black and white. You can actually see something, and you can see the detail. It won't be in color. You got to pay for that because it costs money to print out a color one, but you can see all the evidence and all the proof. There's 20 points of forgery in it. Now, back to the significance of this case.
Mm-hmm.
It appears I'm the first person in the United States that has filed anything under those two laws, ever. That's why, if you read the response we got back from the judge, it was most likely written by his law clerks, because it's the lamest thing. It doesn't answer what my filing is. My filing is merely under those two laws, and I'm just asking, and we gave him a sheet for release, releasing me from criminal liability under those two laws, that I've formally notified the court, just like exactly as the law says, that I'm released from my liability because I reported it. They acted as if I'm suing somebody, and they're asking me if I have standing, which is the stupidest thing in the planet. It's like saying, you can't report a crime unless you have standing. Now you see how dumb it is? If they let it stand, if they made a ruling like that, it means every person who is in jail now because they were convicted on misprision of felony or misprision of treason could come back and say, I didn't have standing, therefore I should be released from prison.
That's crazy.
I know. Now you understand the position they're in. Now, on the website, ObamaForgeryBook.com, if you go to the first page, you go down towards the bottom, and I have all the filings. A very important one is the memorandum of law. In there, we cited some cases of grand juries. The point being is, this is the ultimate hot potato for a judge. This is why. If he signs the document and he releases me from liability, in essence, indirectly, he has already done that by acknowledging and answering the filing. But if he signs it, it means he recognizes a crime was committed, and now he gets the hot potato because he has to wind up putting in the grand jury. If you read his filing, his answer, it says generally the one who brings things to a grand jury is a U.S. attorney. That's true, but he left out one part, and that's maybe why he used the word generally, is that the federal judge also has that right. In fact, it's incorporated in the very law it says. When it says you're supposed to tell a judge, it means the judge has the right to bring it to trial, that he can put it into a grand jury. That's the whole point. And so he's then stuck. If he acknowledges a crime, and if the crime goes to the level of in the public interest, which is some of the things we cited, we're going to be citing more, and we're going to be responding to him next week sometime, then he's forced to. Because if he doesn't, he can almost be construed as an accessory after the fact. If you read the federal statute, what an accessory is, if you prevent something from being, some guilty party from being prosecuted or bringing it to trial, you're also guilty of being an accessory after the fact. He doesn't want to go there, but here he's got the ultimate hot potato. They didn't answer any of the questions regarding the facts I laid out. There was a public affidavit, which amounted to over 17, almost 18,000 words, 72 pages, and there's a sealed one that's 48 pages and a little over 12,000 words. It's
substantial. That's the one that names the forger, correct?
And other people involved in the conspiracy. And the public one obviously lists already NBC and Savannah Guthrie, sweet woman, and others who we believe lied when they said they felt a seal. And people haven't heard that before. The reason why this happened with Savannah Guthrie and NBC is General Electric owned NBC, and General Electric owns a division called GE Capital. They basically fund and lease their equipment, big installations, dams and things like that, generators. And they also got into the loan business of housing, and they were stuck with no less than $340 billion in unproducing paper, bad loans. They appealed to the administration. This is back in, I think, 2008. And they appealed to the administration. At first, they were turned down because they couldn't take part in the TARP thing. So the administration made a deal with them, and they broke the rules, and they let them basically sell $340 billion in bad paper to FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Your SNLs and your banks have to pay into there for the insurance policy. It means, so you know, you understand what's happened. Oh, they only had to pay $2.3 billion for this insurance policy. So that means if you figure there's a 310 million U.S. citizens, not illegals, that comes out to $1,129 per person. Whether you're a baby or an old adult, you help get GE out of hot water. That's what you did. Now, don't you feel good about doing that? Don't you? What happened is that the deal was Obama basically bought two networks, NBC and MSNBC. And that's why MSNBC is like Pravda and Izvestia rolled up into one. That's what happened. They bought them lock, stock, and microphone, and that's why. So here this fairly unknown lawyer, reporter, whatever, she's the only one who's allowed to see it. And it's only because during the news conference, which is on vectorpub.com, on the page that's for the Obama stuff. You can click on the bottom of that second page, you'll see the entire news conference. One of the newsmen said, will any of us see it? See the thing? And some people laughed in the audience. So it means some people knew it was a fraud. And they said, no, and we're not going to. And then somebody asked them, is the president going to see this thing? They said, no, we're not going to leave it here for them to see also. That's called plausible deniability, in case you're wondering.
Oh, yeah.
The last thing on that news conference was about, was there a seal on it? Because the reporter's copy did not have a seal on, and that's what killed it. That's what killed it for them. And they knew they had to get somebody who said there was a seal. So what they did is they got Savannah Guthrie to go there, and what we believe is lie that she felt a seal. But I nailed her to the wall. We did the experiments and everything like that. We have legitimate ones of 8 or 9 samples, and we did copies of a copy and a black and white copier. You can still see it because an embossed seal basically breaks the paper. You can see it. It leaves marks. So you see it in color. You see it in black and white. You cannot see it at all in the copy of the copy whatsoever. There wasn't any seal on it.
I've seen some of the criticism that has been thrown your way regarding your comment that Savannah Guthrie was the only one to see it. And I want to make this correction for a certain OBOT who might be listening right now. I'm not going to mention him by name because I don't want to give him the publicity. But that person said that Savannah Guthrie was not the only person to see it because J. Scott Applewhite was allowed to see it as well, and he took a photograph of it. J. Scott Applewhite took a picture of the photocopy that was handed to the reporters. He did not take a picture of what is being purported to be a certified copy coming out of the DOH in Hawaii. But that shows the extent to which OBOTs will go to make something up.
Well, so the audience understands. They are paid liars. That's why. They were organized from the White House. WorldNet Daily reported that Jim Johnson, former head of Fannie Mae, was the one who organized them, and he organized them, and that's how that worked. It's just propaganda. It was to kill any story. If you have to pay now it's up to $2 million to Perkins Coie to defend it and seal all of your records, you know you have a problem. But obviously the American people are too dumb to have seen this or pay attention to it. So that's what mystifies me, is we're brain dead. Is it academia's dumbed them all down? I don't understand.
Well,
but
part of it, Doug, is that old saying of the bigger the lie is, the more likely it is to be believed.
Yeah,
and I remember, right out of Nazi Germany. And I remember the day it was released. I talked to a person who I thought was reasonably intelligent, and they said, oh, well, it's all over now. Obama released it. I said, have you seen it? Well, no. Well, then how do you know it's real? Oh, my gosh, certainly he wouldn't have released a forged copy. That would be crazy. It has to be real. Somebody would do something about it.
This guy is a pathological liar. I have, if you go onto ObamaForgeryBook.com, on the left-hand side, under video and audio files, there are two that everybody must listen to. It says Obama Malignant Narcissist 1 and then 2. Those are two radio interviews that were conducted on Israel National News. One, I think, was 2009. The other one was 2012. And it was the world foremost expert on narcissism. And he has labeled this guy a malignant narcissist. And you listen to it, and you will understand what we're dealing with.
Rush Limbaugh's brother David came on the show one time, and he said that he had talked to a psychiatrist that Obama definitely crosses over from just being a narcissist to someone with malignant narcissism. When we say Obama is a narcissist, we're not talking about somebody that might like to catch a glimpse of themselves in the mirror every once in a while. We're talking about somebody who has crossed over into having a genuine psychological problem and needs help.
Well, the one key thing regarding narcissists, you cannot control them at all. Those who thought they can control Hitler found out different. The same thing would go for Napoleon or Saddam Hussein or those type. It is, they live in their own fantasy world. The Saudis found out the hard way. They, we know, paid at least $20 million to get him into Harvard and give him some kind of a title. But the fact remains is he double-crossed them. He double-crossed them by putting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And you read what's on Debka File and others, they're angry with him. They hate his guts. They want to remove the United States from the Middle East. Not kidding. Mm. So that's what he's done. But again, I think they finally learned about a year or 2 years ago, it finally dawned on them then that they're really the target. So away from politics, back to this, the birth certificate stuff. The evidence that's in the affidavit, you should read it. It's really just the facts. The book will have more of the other stuff and more explanation and stuff like that, but we have to do it for an affidavit. It's going to be just the facts, which we did. And it's 20 points of forgery. Everything from the registrar's stamp, in fact, that's the strangest part of the whole thing. The forger, we have legitimate registrar stamps. They're made in, they're metal stamps, embossed metal stamps. And you don't have an error in them. The companies who make metal embossed stamps don't have errors like these in it. When the forger was doing them, I mean, even on the short form, and the others she did, not only for Obama, for others, every place they make a different mistake on the registrar stamp. Everything from different leading, different flush left, even word spacing was different. It was just really weird. And, for instance, on the bottom where it says Onaka's signature, it says state registrar. When I took the first letter of S and I moved it to the back of the on registrar, it's a whole point size smaller than the last letter. In other words, the letters actually grow larger as it goes towards the right hand side. You can't do that unless it's in Photoshop. Well, I used to be a typesetter. I know they don't make those machines to do it like that.
Doug, tell my audience real quick how many years of typesetting experience you have.
I owned a typesetting company, Nova Typesetting, from 1978 to about 90, I think it was. And then I went to graphics business and started this business about 93.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute. There's no way.
And Paul's been doing it for 50 years. Paul's been doing this for 50 years.
The difference in point size was due to ink accumulation or.
Can't be.
You know.
It's metal. It's metal. Metal. Metal and embossed stamp. Can't be.
Gotcha.
They don't make mistakes like that.
Funny how Alvin Onaka, the person whose name is on that stamp, doesn't talk to the media. Do you know any other state registrars that have a policy of not talking to the media?
He's probably very nervous. I had written him a registered restricted delivery letter where I showed him seven or eight registrar stamps, and I said, two of these are on provable known forgeries. Can you confirm which ones are yours and which ones are forgeries? I never heard back from him. But that letter was also copied to the special agent in charge, the FBI in Honolulu, the U.S. attorney in Honolulu, and Mike Zulu in the sheriff's office. So I've got it on record. He got it. He can't plead he had no idea and didn't know forgeries were out there. I nailed him on that one. But also, the easiest thing for a forger to do is a registrar stamp. All you have to do is scan it in, leave it alone, and put it on your forged document. Then why is she altering this thing? And the only answer you can come up with is plausible deniability for the registrar. There's no other logical explanation. You don't have to do what she was doing.
You're saying she, so once again you're telling us that the forger is a female.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just, the forger is a female, and they knew each other when they were kids in Hawaii. This is not something that you can go out and advertise for, you know?
Yeah, you can't just call down the Kinko's and say, we need one fake birth certificate, please, or the White House print office or whatever. Did you notice that the U.S. media chose not to pick up on the story about what happened in Puerto Rico with the birth certificates?
I want to tell you something that Paul and I discovered. Actually, I discovered the name. He already knew that the media was controlled. At first, I didn't know if I should believe it or not when I first met Paul back, 2011, July, I think, August, when I went to Hawaii with Orly. It was, I came across Operation Mockingbird. Go look it up. It started in 1951. You can search on the internet for the church committee hearings, and there's a whole bunch. There's a lot there. Anyway, in the church committee, they were cross-examining the CIA and what they were doing, and their budget at the time was at least $1 billion, and the surface story, what they said they admitted to in the committee, was that they were going to use the money to bribe editors and publishers to put in their stories. This is back to 51. This is Truman. And Truman was the one who created the CIA in 47. And it wasn't just that. Paul's good friend was an editor at one of the major TV stations in New York City. It was either NBC, CBS, and ABC, and Paul has not told me because the guy, after he left his job, left the country. And what he told Paul was that they're in fear of their lives. They're threatened. If they produce, they have to basically, if there's a questionable story, they have to submit it to some office in Washington, D.C., most likely the CIA, and they decide whether you're going to run with the story or not. And that's why we have controlled news. We're no better than Pravda and Izvestia. That's the problem. We think we have free news. We don't. In fact, I'm beginning to believe that the reason why that author, I can't remember the lady's name, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, why she got the Pulitzer Prize, I think it was in 1958 or 59, is because the editors and publishers were basically saying between the lines, we'd like to kill this program, but we don't know how. That's why we're not getting the story out in the main media, including Fox, because some of them can't. They're controlled. You've done interviews with Mike Zullo. He said reporters came up to him and said they'd lose their job if they report this stuff.
He had a reporter come up to him, and they actually said, and they said it to Arpaio as well, you know what? When I went to your first press conference and I saw all the goods, you guys had the goods on Obama, it was a done deal, it was a slam dunk, and I tried to tell my supervisors, you know, hey, they've got something there, they put forward some pretty impressive evidence. This person was told under no circumstances will we pursue this story.
And the CIA should really be called Central Information Agency. That's really, they're controlling the information that the American public get. Another way they gave it away, really stupidly, is when Al Jazeera wanted to broadcast in the United States. And the FCC, who you'd think do this, said you have to contact the CIA and abide by their rules for giving the news to the American public. Now, I read the law that created the CIA. And, in fact, I searched the current statutes. And you know something? There's nothing in there about the media, the press, nothing. They have no authority to do this. But they're doing it anyway. So this is the problem we have. That's why the only way around that I could find, my background is accounting, that was my degree, is when I read the law, misprision of felony and treason, the founding fathers are the ones to thank. If we find a honest judge, the whole idea is if this judge doesn't do it and gives me a hard time, then we're going to mail it off to lots of other federal judges. We'll find one in a red state that sees what this guy's doing and says, I have the power to put it in my grand jury and we'll run with it. Because I'm in a red state. I'm a highly Democrat state. I should say not the whole state, only King County where, you know, the liberals are. And what do I say?
Wouldn't that be a blue state?
Yeah, this is a blue state, Seattle. And only King County and Pierce and some of Snohomish. The rest of the state is Republican, but all the power is here and here, and that's the problem. It's that's the way it is. They're a bunch of crooks too, but they spend our money quite liberally. Sound familiar? So that's the issue. That's why I chose this method. So we're asking for contributions to send the full color versions of the affidavit and the other filings, except for the sealed one. Unless the judge asks for it, then I'll send a sealed one off to the judge. But I have to send
and
off
for people who
the thing
want to help
color.
You out, Doug, for people who want to help you out and make a donation, how do they go about doing that?
Just go on the website. I have the donate button there, or to order. If they want to order color one, it costs $26 to send it off to the judge. And if you want one also, yeah, it's $26 basically. Just tell me which one you want. Is it a contribution, or is it going to a judge, or is it going to go to you?
Now, what I'm about to ask you, there is no 100% correct on the money answer for, but I'd still like to get your opinion. Looking at these two laws, the misprision of treason, the misprision of felony. Taking a look at these two, based on what you know in terms of the funny business that's gone on with Obama's records, all the people keeping their mouths shut, the people that have been hired to smear anyone who challenges the birth certificate's authenticity, How many people in the end do you think will be doing prison time because of these two laws?
There's no way I could ever know it. The reason is you have to understand a couple of things that are important here. One, this conspiracy goes back to the 60s, early 60s. In fact, Khrushchev had bragged when he was in New York at the UN that he's going to destroy America from within. And the Communist Party defined it, we're going to put somebody in office that's one of us, and put people, communists and Marxists, in key positions that we can influence the society and tear it down. And that's what they're doing. I mean, it's, you know, what they're doing about overspending is merely an article that was published by Cloud and Piven.
Sure.
I think it was the New
Columbia.
Republic Atlantic or something like that. It was a magazine article that said, this is how you do it. You overspend, and there's plenty of people that want a handout, and you'll break the bank. And that's what they're mm-hmm. doing. They're breaking the bank.
New York was kind of a test market for them back whenever Ford told them to drop dead. But this thing is not going away. For anybody who thinks, well, if Obama makes it through his second term, no, Nazi war criminals were chased almost into their deathbeds justice was done. Absolutely. And this is not going away. So if you're one of those people out there who knows, who absolutely knows, for instance, if you work at Capilani, if you work in the Department of Health, if you work in the Attorney General's office in Hawaii, if you work for the Selective Service System, if you work for the Social Security Administration, if you work for the State Department and have some knowledge of passports, if you are one of those people that knows this, or if you work at a university somewhere and if you work at a university somewhere and you know that he got foreign student aid, or that perhaps he got into the university on some kind of a foreign student program, and you're covering that up, you need to listen to what this man, Doug Vogt, has to say. This does involve you. There will be consequences.
That's true.
There are ramifications. You will not get away with it simply because currently Obama is president and he is protecting you. You will not always have him in power to protect you, and this issue is not going away. The time to turn evidence, the time to come forward and save your butt, is now.
What Montgomery Blair sibling said is that what would happen, and the procedure here is, when it goes to a grand jury, and we'll eventually find some federal judge, if we don't wind up forcing this one to do it here, to put it into a grand jury. When that happens, we've asked for a special prosecutor, truly special prosecutor, because obviously the current administration couldn't possibly have an attorney, U.S. attorney, do it honestly.
You don't think Eric Holder would do a good job?
Well, considering how far back he goes, how do you know he's not a Marxist or socialist and part of the conspiracy? You really don't.
I think I can just take a look at what he's done since he's been in office and know that he wouldn't do anything to deliver justice on this particular issue.
Remember what he did under the Clinton administration in the last hours. He released the Puerto Rican terrorists that shut up the House of Congress back in 51 or something like that, 48?
For a while, we had Lanny Breuer as the head of the criminal division of the Department of Justice. This is a guy who coddled Gitmo terrorists. So there's another example of someone in the Department of Justice.
Now you understand. So what happens is when a grand jury is convened and they're given a case to investigate, the Department of Health could not refuse a warrant, a search warrant, a whatever, from a federal grand jury. If they do, the marshal comes back and he brings an arrest warrant and he arrests that person who refuses to hand it over. Or they just come with a whole bunch of guys with, you know, the FBI and the marshal's office, and they seize the stuff right then and there. But they get everybody who is of interest there, persons of interest, the prosecutor sends off a letter saying, you are the subject of a grand jury investigation. And what I'm told is the first person you call up then is your lawyer. And then after that, you're sweating it, because you can't evidently use the Fifth Amendment when you give testimony in front of a grand jury. How do you like that? In other words, you have to spill your guts. But it'll be a simple investigation. I mean, what they have to do is pretty simple. And subpoenaing certain records, and I know where they are. And if those people, it's not just Obama, it's a bunch of others, don't have those certificate numbers, then they know there is a conspiracy to defraud. And that's where they have the problem. And then one of them will spill their guts. The only problem is those who have direct knowledge of the forgery, there's a good chance that they will be murdered by other principals in this, because that's been their experience with people who have firsthand knowledge of either Obama's queerdom or his illegal activity. They seem to disappear and die.
And by the way, let me throw this out there, since you talked about people who've been murdered to protect Obama's past. First of all, I think we all know Lieutenant Quirrell Harris was murdered because he knew a little bit too much about Obama's passport records. At Reverend Wright's Trinity Church, we had a young homosexual named Larry Bland who was murdered on November 17th, 2007, execution style, multiple gunshot wounds. Then, a little over a month later, we have Donald Young, the choir director, murdered on December, I believe it was 23rd or 24th, 2007.
Yeah.
His mother, Doug, goes to the Globe and says, "My son was murdered because of his gay relationship with Barack Obama." And the mainstream media says and does nothing. Now, let's throw a little comparison out there for you Obots and liberals who might be listening. Do you think if whenever John McCain appointed Sarah Palin to be his running mate, if people had put out rumors that she was a lesbian, and at her church, two lesbians known to be affiliated with her were murdered execution style with multiple gunshot wounds within a month of each other, do you think somebody would have covered that story? If you think what Doug is saying here about the news being controlled isn't real, ask yourself how a mother of a dead choir director at Obama's church can come forward and say, "My son was murdered because of his gay relationship with Barack Obama," and not one single damned major news agency picked it up. By the way, the woman is African American, so you liberals aren't going to be able to say, "Well, she must be a racist."
The problem is these liberals and these Marxists and socialists, they don't care. To them, the ends justify the means. And I like to make a simple analogy here. I'm somewhat of a student of history, and what the form of government that they want to create here, which is socialism or communism or some flavor of that, is really nothing more than a redoing of feudalism. It's all top-down rule, and the key part of feudalism was the people are nothing more than the property of the state, whether the state's being a baron or a count, or the king, or you have the state of the United States, and in essence your birth certificate is that title where they own you, and that's the proof that they own you, and you are their subject. So that's what they're doing. These people are incredibly stupid. It's either they've never been taught what feudalism was, or they don't have the brains to compare both socialism, communism, or national socialism. In reality, what they are really practicing is national socialism, which is Keynesian economics with Tammany Hall mixed in for good measure. That's what they're doing, but that's what fascism or national socialism is. In fact, Hitler in his own writing said that there was very little difference between communism and national socialism. It's all the same structure. They just have another name for it. If they were Europeans, they're going back to either 300 years ago, if you were in Russia, that's when the serfs were freed, or 700 to 800 years in Europe. And that's what these stupid idiots want to do. They want to go back and become serfs to the state. That's how dumb they are.
I'm not going to give too much away with this, but you've been kind enough to share some of your correspondence with me regarding a certain group of individuals. And I love the way you typically end your correspondence to them by saying, if you want to talk about communism, if you want to talk about socialism and why you believe in that, get back with me. And it seems like they never, ever want to talk about that with you.
When you say, okay, if you're supporting him and you're defending him, then you support his philosophy of government, which is socialism and communism. First he said he wasn't a communist. I said, don't lie to me. It's just, but anyway, that's another story. These people are just losers, just plainly either painfully stupid or they willingly want to become serfs. It's just, it's not, you don't understand people like that.
Doug, what's the next step in your legal action? When can we expect to hear more feedback from you?
We answer this thing sometime next week, where basically we'll answer the law, basically that this is not anyone being sued, standing, it's irrelevant to this. I am reporting a crime or crimes against the United States, and he has to acknowledge it. That's all this is. That's all it comes down to. They just were totally freaked out. And once you read what they're saying, after you read our thing, and you read what they said, or the judge said, you realize they set up a straw man, and then they try to knock it down. They try to make this thing that it has no standing. Standing has nothing to do with this. You don't need standing to report a crime, period. So that's the whole point. You could tell they couldn't find anything in the law books for precedent of anybody doing what I did.
When is your book coming out, Doug?
Oh, I still have about 4 or 5 chapters left, but they're easy chapters. And Paul has to do 2 of his. He's got the job of doing the one on the media and the one on the forensic examiners who did nothing.
So you're going to call it George Washington, Barack Obama, and the typesetter?
No, we're more direct. It's on that webpage. It's called From Forgery to Treason. You have to appreciate the very fact that they did the forgery made it a clear-cut case of treason. That's the funny part of this whole thing. That here you think these communists were going to be so smart and smug. They picked a guy with no birth certificate in the United States. I mean, the very fact that he had to produce a forgery means he wasn't born here. Simple as that.
What's hilarious is that out of Hawaii, we're hearing mumbling that certain Hawaiian laws, given supporting documents, allow them to make a birth certificate for someone. If that's true, why did they try to fake it with a 1960s typewriter or 1950s typewriter? I don't think it gives them the right to that. Yeah, I don't think it gives them the right to try to fake it like it was done in the 1961.
Yeah, when you read the thing, you'll see there was 16 letters that had 2 versions of them. Actually, the letter L had 3 versions of it, like from 2 different typewriters. It's really strange stuff. I mean, that's what how bad this forgery was. This thing never saw a typewriter, ever.
Without giving too much away, I know the OBOTs think the Xerox 7655 is the panacea for all that ails this forged document. It's not. It's not.
It has nothing to do with it.
A little tip to the forger, the next time you do this, just use one piece of safety paper. I mean, it would be good. But at any rate, Doug, that's all the time we've got. Give out that website address.
ObamaForgeryBook.com or VectorPub.com.
If you're one of those people that says you're tired about nobody doing anything about this, if you're one of those people that is certain in your heart that Obama's birth certificate is a forgery as well as other documents in his life have been forged or altered, and you're frustrated as hell that nobody has done anything about it, well, I've got a guest on right now, Doug Vogt. He's doing something about it.
The last chance. This is it.
So if you want to be part of this, and if you want this man to be successful, and you're tired of being frustrated that nobody else has done anything about this, go on his website, make a donation to him, and you can be part of history. Doug, thank you for being here today. The last time you were here was a great success in terms of listenership. And
nice talking to you also.
Oh, always a pleasure having you on the show, Doug, and just thank you very much for what you do. There are a few people in this world that have the courage to stick their necks out and do what's right. It's a lot easier just to stay focused on American Idol and NCIS and America's Got Talent and who's winning what football game. And for someone to actually be out there looking out for the interest of America, looking out for America's freedom, looking out to protect our way of life, you know, it's rare these days. It shouldn't be, but it is. But you're one of those people who's doing it. So thank you so much. And we look forward to having you back again real soon.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.